Our scene opens on an Isog crawling through an abandoned warren. He is small and his brown fur is covered in dirt. The place he's exploring used to be a home to an Isog family. He has no idea who they were, and they left little evidence behind of their lives. This is a seventh warren he has investigated in Bale Mal Shar, and so far he has encountered none of the sinkholes that the old druid told him about. "This is the last one, I swear. I can't believe I spent so much time down in these old holes chasing I don't know what. Oh, no wonder I haven't made any new friends. Your ma always told you, Drin, you gotta get your head out of the clouds and your eyes on the world in front of you. God, it's not even Huna or Segi hang around with me anymore. You know, that's it. That's it. I'm turning around!" Before he can complete his out loud thoughts, the ground falls out from under him. The world becomes a rush of dirt and rock as Drin slides down the diagonal sinkhole. After what seems a week, he hits solid ground. It is pitch black and the air is stale and earthy. As he fumbles to his feet, he begins to cast a spell to create light, his bit of green lore shared by the Isog of old. Being treeborn, his night vision was not very good at all. As multicolored lights flit about, he notices odd sounds and a putrid aroma. He spins around and moves to follow the sounds, a sort of loud clank of metal on stone. All the while, the foul stench of putrefaction fills his nostrils. "By the trees, I was feckin' right! Woof, though, what a stink! Let's see who's behind this." As Drin's confidence returns, he crouches and lurks towards the clanking sounds. He keeps his lights low around his slight frame to help him see, not give away his stealthy approach. Sound and smell both increase as he reaches their source. As he lays eyes upon the beings responsible, he freezes in terror. "What in the hell is that?" As he realizes his last thought was out loud, the sound echoes in the darkness. He makes a move to back out of the makeshift tunnel. The figures turn, and Drin recoils at the horrible sight. And in this moment, he realizes that he had no plan of what to do next. The lights blink out, one by one.
Welcome back, everyone. We are the Architects of Entropy, and this is episode 8 in our continuing saga of the Mal Shar 3. Are we still the Mal Shar 3? We still liking that name?
We haven't come up with anything better, so...
Okay.
If somebody has something better...
Yeah, send it in. We're not great with naming things. Took us what? How long did it take us to come up with the name of this podcast? Three meetings?
Too long.
Okay. So last we left our heroes, you went on a little underground adventure. Well, go back a little bit further. We got some more background information on Kiernan. Learned a little bit more about Kiernan's new friend, Tahar.
She's my friend.
Yeah. I mean, I think frenemy is fair.
I agree.
She has stated that though she is an assassin hired by your mother, she was not necessarily hired by your mother to kill you, just to watch you. So, you know.
She's a friend assassin.
Friend assassin. Yes. Oh, okay. That's great. Yes. Tahara's a friend assassin.
I like that one.
Yep. And tried to burn down a house to get away from you. You put the fire out almost immediately. We learned a little bit about your characters in that moment as well, I think. You're not just going to let a random apartment burn down.
With people in it, possibly.
Yes. We had a scene where Razor and Grenna, I think, got a little bit closer. I think it's fair to say, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
Who knows? Is this a will they, won't they scenario? Are we going to have some shippers? Because that's the next thing. People are listening. You know, dozens of people are listening. Maybe by the time this episode airs, maybe more than that. As far as I can tell, we are being heard across the globe. If my stats don't lie, there are people listening in the UK, France, and Belgium. So if you are any of those people,
Thank you.
Give me a shout. And if not, your IP addresses are in France, Belgium, and the UK. So probably a VPN. Not really sure. But either way, it looks good on the stats. And so shipping, possible. Then the meat of our last session, you went down into a abandoned warren in Bale Mar Shar and fell down a sinkhole and wound up in a series of tunnels that appear to be winding their way underneath Mal Shar. You were able to trace the tunnel back to Hogsbane Alley, where it had been caved in from the other side. Then you followed the tunnel northwest. I think I said northeast, but I meant northwest. So those of you who are confused by this, I apologize, but I am not good with directions. But northwest is the direction, which basically means that it's going in the direction of the rest of Iomora, because Mal Shar is basically on the eastern edge, the eastern coast of Iomora, and the rest of the world continues from there. But you found another tunnel that branched off to the north, going in the direction of the Temple District. And more specifically, as you followed it, it got closer to the location of the forge. I believe last you stopped probably a few hundred feet away from directly underneath the forge. And the diggers turned out to be what appears to be three undead Duergar. I don't know how much we've really talked about the Duergar, but they are a offshoot subrace or cousin of the dwarves. They were first discovered about the year 560, so about 240 years ago. And since then, they've been very insular, very unfriendly. And eventually, about 50 years ago or so, started a war against the dwarves and basically tried to take the forge. Razor knows all about that war.
And, yeah, it's great.
You got dragged into it at a young age. But since they lost and were pushed back, there's been very little anyone has heard from them. As a matter of fact, there have not been really any sightings of Duergar above ground or even underground in at least the last 20, 30 years. They pulled back and have been not heard from. So you found them here. So we are going to pick up there. So the four of you, that is Razor, Zika, Kiernan, and Segi, a friend of Zika's, a Isog sorcerer, have found these three gentlemen, and we will pick up right there. So, at last we left you, a cavern in darkness, one lone light being held in the back of the group by Kiernan. Lights very briefly a face, gray skin, scraggly beard, solid white eyes, and flesh falling off the bone. Razor identifies him immediately as Duergar, but not alive. They raise their war picks. What do you do?
Charge.
All right. Let's roll initiative. Razor.
I got an 8.
Kiernan.
15.
Zika.
18.
And for Segi, 4. Zika.
All right. Would you say that these Duergar are within a 20-foot cube?
Yeah. So I'll give a brief description of this, where you're standing. It's about maybe around 6 feet tall and about the width of three medium creatures, you know, like these Duergar. And also, I will point out some environmental factors in this combat.
Thank you.
People want to do any kind of architect actions or things to affect this. It is dark, it is cramped, and the earth is very loose. So anything else you want to introduce into the scene to interact with or make this interesting, you can do that. So right now there's three standing in front of you in a line. As far as where you are, I know Razor is in the front. I know Kiernan is in the back because Kiernan has light. And the two Isog, I'm assuming, are somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And obviously you can be three abreast. That's as much as you can be abreast, but it's a relatively small zone of combat. So
if we can be three abreast, I'd probably be up in the front next to Razor.
Next to Razor? Okay. And Sagi will probably be in the back near Kim. Because as we pointed out before, she is made out of paper.
Yeah, typical sorceress papier-mâché.
Alrighty. What do you do?
I'm going to cast Fairy Fire on the three of them.
Ah, okay.
They will have a dexterity saving throw.
Okay.
That is going to be 14.
Describe what is happening to these three gentlemen.
I am tapping into the power of my fey lineage and summoning green light from what Pathfinder would call the first world. I don't know if that's what it is in D&D as well.
It's from, whatever we say it is. Our
world. And that's what it is.
from the fey.
Green light, tongues of flame that burst out from the center into the entire 20-foot area and does no damage to them, but anyone that fails their saving throw, we have advantage to attack them, and they are shedding that green light.
Okay, so the one on the left and the one in the middle seem to be glowing that eerie green glow. The one furthest to the right seems to somehow have shaken that off.
And I will also enact my shillelagh for next turn.
Okay, so you know, when you enact your shillelagh, you do have to say the power phrase.
No, that's when I attack.
Oh, okay, never mind. All right, well, yes. Okay.
That's coming.
Okay, good. Two of the Duergar are glowing the sickly green, or not sickly green, it's actually it's a bright fey green.
At Sherwin-Williams, this is called capricious green.
Okay. Alrighty. I'll keep that in mind the next time I'm painting my house. Alrighty. So, Kiernan.
I will pull out my longbow and I'll take a shot at, I suppose I'll try for one of the glowing ones.
Okay.
That'll be a 14.
Your arrow goes sailing just over the head of one of the Duergar.
Distracted by the light.
And now they go. Duergar on the left will reach out and try to hit Razor with his war pick. And that is a 21.
That will hit.
For 7 points of piercing damage as his war pick comes down across your midsection and bites into your armor. One in the middle reaches out as well, and he will attack. I'm going to give this an even odd shot. Evens, it's Razor. Odds, it's Zika. Zika, he does not like that thing you just did to him with the fairy fire, so he clongs down on you with his war pick for a 13, which
will miss.
Will miss. Okay, and that hits the dirt at your feet, impaling it into the ground. Third guy, who is not fairy fired, is going to do the same thing. He also is going to come at Zika. That's a 21 to hit. I'm assuming that will probably be the trick.
Guess, yeah.
So the war pick comes down and it crunches into your side for 6 points of piercing damage.
Right.
Next up is Razor.
Be gone, you foul creatures from our holy region.
And right. Even with advantage, that's an 11 to hit.
Okay.
I assume that missed.
Yes. All right.
I'll spend a bonus action to attack again.
Okay.
And that is a 13.
That will also miss. And here comes Sagi. Sagi is standing behind you, and she weaves both of her hands around, and they blur around with a colored light. And the light focuses in several different colors and finally settles as an orb of bright fire, which launches out at the Duergar in the center. A ranged spell attack, Chromatic Orb. And she strikes. The Chromatic Orb flies from her hands into the center Duergar for 16 points of fire damage, and it burns and rears back. And we go back up to the top to Zika.
Black Oak Fool Crusher! There you go.
All right.
I will attack the one in the middle that just got attacked. And I got a 20.
That will hit.
All right. That will do 8 points of bludgeoning damage.
All right.
Bash it in the side of its drooping face.
All right. So Black Oak Foe Crusher comes down on the face of the center Duergar, making it somehow slightly less attractive, if that is at all possible. And next, we go to Kiernan.
I will make an assessment and try to shoot at the most injured one.
It's not easy to figure that out. The one in the middle has a giant gaping hole in the side of its head and is mostly on fire.
All right, I'll go for that one then. Am I still getting advantage?
Yes, you get advantage on that one.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
What did you roll?
A 2 and a 3, so.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, dear.
So, arrow bounces off of its armor, and we go back to the Duergar. First, Duergar is going to reach out with his war pick and take another shot at Razor. And the shot just goes clean away from you. Could not have been a worse attempt. The Duergar in the center drops his war pick, lurches forward towards Zika, and looks like he's attempting to bite her.
Ew.
And a 5 misses.
Yes.
All right. The third Duergar, the one on the right, he takes a step back behind the other two. So you two will get a free shot at him.
Oh. Right. This is the one that does not have
fairy
fire.
Does not have fairy fire, yes.
Okay. Does a 14 hit?
A 14 does not.
Does a 20?
A 20 does.
I will smack it with my mace upside the shoulder for 8 points of damage.
Okay. And he steps back. Razor takes a swing at him, clonging him on the side of the head, and then disappears.
Uh-oh.
And then we go to Razor.
I will attack the one center. 18.
18 hits.
Take 8 points of damage from that mace. Cracks into your ribs.
Razor wheels up with his warhammer and cracks into the chest of the center Duergar, who rears back and starts to weave. And he looks for a second like he might get back to his feet and then just collapses on the ground. He is quite dead. Again.
Re-dead.
Stay down!
And Seiji will lean back and hurl a ray of frost at the one that you can still see, which he ducks out of the way of, and it just freezes a section of the wall behind him. And then we go back to Zika.
I will attack the one that's still in front of me and Razor that we can see.
Okay.
That will hit the 21.
All right.
For 6 points of damage. Going for the kneecaps.
Okay, you sweep the legs, Johnny.
Yes.
And crack the knee of this undead Duergar, which, were he still alive, would probably cry out in agony. But since he's dead, just kind of goes, ugh.
Going for the ACL and the meniscus.
Glad for that meniscus. Kiernan, it's hero time. Come on, you can do this.
Okay.
You can see one, and he is glowing green with fairy fire.
I will attempt to put an arrow into him. 20?
20 hits?
Yeah. That'll be 11 points of damage.
From the back of the party, an arrow whistles out and hits the Duergar right in the chest. And it definitely looks like it did some damage, but he's just kind of standing there, so it's hard to tell. Undead really just, they're not very satisfying in that way.
It's fine that I hit him.
The one Duergar, who you can see, pulls back into himself and closes his eyes, and then poof, he's twice his size. He's taken up that whole area. What that means is it goes to Razor now. There's a big, giant guy in front of you.
I assume, having been at war with these creatures, I'm aware of some of their special abilities.
Yes, all Duergar have the ability, most Duergar, I should say, have the ability once a day to turn themselves invisible, for a brief period of time and make themselves twice their size for brief periods of time.
All right. The other one's invisible somewhere, waiting to slit our throats.
Meanwhile, I'm going to try and attack this one that's still fairy-fired, and kind of being undead and not very smart, it kind of cramped itself in there.
It wasn't the best tactical move.
Right. So I'm already at advantage with the fairy fire, I guess, so I can't really gain much further bonus of it, but I'm going to move around and use any stalactite, stalagmite, loose dirt, cave, just to make it a little harder for me to be hit as I fight this.
Okay, yeah. All right, basically give you cover from him.
Yeah, or just give it a disadvantage, whatever.
It will have disadvantage to hit you.
All right, and I hit it for 3 points of damage.
Okay.
And I will spend a bonus action to attack again.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I really shouldn't waste my bonus actions. Instead, I got a little too tight and hit with those stalagmites.
Okay.
Myself.
Alrighty. And next we go to Seiyi. She will step forward, kind of wedge herself between you two, and she throws both of her hands out in this kind of sunburst fashion, and a flame shoots out of her hands in all directions to that Duergar. And he must attempt to make a dexterity savings throw. Now, they get advantage against spells, but he's wedged in there and not a lot of room, so I'm giving him disadvantage on his dexterity savings throw. So it will just be a straight dex savings throw, but I don't think it's really going to matter because their dex is horrible, and that did a lot of damage.
Yeah.
So Seiyi steps forward, fans out. She casts Burning Hands, sets that whole area on fire, and this Duergar is going to just sizzle and goes down to normal size and collapses into the ground. And you see nothing behind him.
What were you waiting for to bring that out, Seiyi?
And as you say that, she goes, "Well," and then where Seiyi was standing, all of a sudden there's a potted plant.
What? What? Seiyi? What's happened to you?
And became a petunia.
So this is new, then.
And I've never seen this before in my life.
Then we go to Zika. You don't see anything.
Okay, so what I want to try and do, I don't know if this is going to work or not, but I would like to cast Gust straight up, because it's a freshly dug tunnel and there's loose earth, and basically I want to use Gust to try and blow little particles of dirt and debris kind of all over the area to see if I can have particles land on the possibly invisible Duergar and help us locate him.
Okay, yes. That's a great use of the gust spell. So, Zika, you stand back, and a gust of kind of unearthly wind comes forth from you up into the air and all around the room. And everyone kind of gets coated with a thin layer of earth from these dug tunnels. And you see behind Kiernan a very large amorphous predator shape.
Kiernan, behind you.
Thanks.
Kiernan, you can take an attack against this. You will be at disadvantage.
Okay, I will do so. Actually, since I have my bow, I'll probably just use it to smack him.
I mean, if you want to drop that weapon and pull out another one.
Sure, I'll do that. I will pull out a short sword and attempt to swing around and slice. I'm at disadvantage, you said?
Yes.
So 15.
All right, 15 unfortunately does not hit. The huge, soon-to-not-be-invisible Duergar will swing at Kiernan and miss.
Marvelous.
And then we go back to Razor.
I'll run up charging and swing my mace at it.
Okay. It appears, so it is no longer invisible as it is attacked.
I missed, and I will use a bonus attack. 18?
18 will hit.
So that'll hit it for 3 points of damage.
All right. As the thing appears, Razor spins around, runs at it, and tries to smack it a couple of times, catches it a little bit on the side. And then we go back to the potted plant. Where the potted plant was, suddenly there's a Seiyi again.
What just happened?
That's why I don't do that a lot. And then she reaches out and throws another ray of frost at this Duergar. You hear that wild magic is a little unpredictable.
A little wild.
So the Ray of Frost, once again, just reaches the edge of the Duergar and just kind of disperses a little off of it. Doesn't really seem to do anything.
Damn it!
Zika, it is your go.
I will charge it and run over there and smash it with my shillelagh.
Alrighty.
Get back here, you great bastard!
That's gonna miss.
Okay. Kiernan!
Yes, right in front of me. I'll swing again with my sword. Hopefully hit it. I get the same thing as last.
Okay, well, what was it?
15.
15? Ah, so close. Okay, it has a lot of targets to choose from now. So we're going to do the old D3 roll here. Ooh, yeah, it's going to try and swing at Sagi. It will actually miss Sagi, so she survives another round. And we go to Razor.
Swing at this thing again.
Yep.
Miss.
Okay. Sagi rolls around again. She's like, sorry, guys. We really need to put this thing down. And she whirls up another chromatic orb, this time an acid orb. And then she hurls the acid orb and rolls a dang 2.
Ah.
Dang.
And the Duergar ducks out of the way and it hits the side of the wall and just hisses around. And once again, the wild magic. And she seems to not be a potted plant.
That's good.
Zika.
Generally recommended, unless that's how you started out life.
Yeah.
All right, I will swing my shillelagh. That will miss, 13.
Okay, Kiernan.
I will attempt to stab this creature in front of me with an 18.
Alrighty, an 18 will hit.
All right. It'll be 6 whopping points of damage.
Alrighty, every little bit counts. And then we go to Big Fella. Big Fella is going to take a swing at Razor. And another miss. This has been exciting, so nobody's been hitting anything for like the last 3 rounds.
Welcome to level 2.
Razor, back to you as this pitched battle underground where everyone seems to just be making a big mess.
Yeah, I swing and hit the wall. ducks out of the way.
I think it's funnier to think about it not as in like we're hitting each other on the armor, but that we're all just straight up missing.
Yeah. Another blast of frost comes from Sagi, who... Oh, good lord. That's a natural 3. Not happening. Magic's firing off, weapons flying around. Here comes Zika with a club once more.
Let's see if I can do anything. That's a hit. That's 22.
Woohoo!
Something. And that's actually pretty decent damage as well. That is 11 points of damage.
Right. 11 points of damage. Zika, please describe how you kill this Duergar.
I've been enjoying going for the knee, so I smash it and the knee completely disconnects from the upper leg, and as it falls onto itself, all of the sharp pointy bones kind of all go into each other, and just if there was blood there would be massive hemorrhaging and it can no longer function.
Okay. Alrighty. So you take him out at the knee to death.
Yes.
Alrighty.
They don't expect that.
They never expect that. So it falls and it stays down.
Nice hit.
Ah, no nasty undead is going to bring us down.
What in the blazing hells was those things?
What in the blazing hell happened to you?
It's the wild magic, you know, it's very, you know, unpredictable. Sometimes you turn blue, sometimes you turn into a potted plant. Sometimes good things happen, sometimes bad things happen. Most of the time, though, nothing happens.
Well, if we weren't in combat and you turn it into a bowl of petunias, wouldn't necessarily be the worst thing. So tell me, when you're petunias, can you see the world around you?
I can't really describe the way it feels. I mean, honestly, by the time I realized what was going on, I was back to myself again. Just kind of know you're a plant.
Doesn't sound so terrible, actually.
If you have nothing better to do.
Well, how was the soil? Was it nice and moist for you?
it probably could grow pretty well here if there was any sunlight. Well, once again, what in blazes were those things?
Aye, that's what I was about to ask. What is going on here? We should take a look at them, see if they've got any insignias or anything.
Weezer, you seem to recognize them.
They're undead Dwergar?
Undead what now?
Dwergar. You know, the deep, dark, evil dwarves that we don't talk about all the time.
Oh, the deep dwarves. I've heard about them. I heard that they haven't been seen in quite a while. But maybe you'd all push them all back down into the dirt.
Well, if all, most of them are at the Black Forge, but evidently some of them are have made their way here in one capacity or another.
Yes, well, that is really something.
You seemed intent on making it to the Forge to find out what that's all about.
Yes, it seems like they've dug tunnels all over the place.
We search the bodies.
Okay, you search the bodies and you find some really moldering scale mail and 3 war picks. Looking at these bodies, actually, people can give me a medicine roll or an arcana roll.
I can do arcana.
I'll do medicine. I'm not great at it. So.
Yeah, I'll do medicine as well.
I didn't do great with the arcana. I got 10.
I have a 16 for medicine.
Okay.
Yep, they're dead.
Okay. Alrighty. Yeah, they're definitely dead. Dead and then dead again. Sagi actually looks at them and points inside the wounds. What is that? As you look down to where she's pointing, underneath the wound, inside the desiccated flesh of this Duergar zombie is this yellowish kind of slime, like the consistency of like a rice pudding. It's not necessarily pus, but it's like bright yellow, like where you might see blood from a fresh corpse. This is what's coming out.
That is very, very foul, whatever that is. I think we should
burn it.
Well, yes, all right.
Maybe someone could examine it.
Hey, perhaps we should have someone who knows this sort of thing take a look.
Could be helpful.
All right, well, I guess we could take a sample.
Could do that.
So Sagi reaches down into a pouch she has, and she pulls out like a tiny flask and dumps out the fluid that was in it. And then she pulls out a knife and starts brushing it out of the inside of the wound and into this flask, trying very carefully not to touch it. And she hands it off to you, Razor. Maybe you should have them look at it at the temple or something? I don't know.
Yes, that seems like how I do. Let's look around here, see how far they got.
Alrighty. Looking around that area, everyone can give me a perception roll.
That is 22.
I got a 24.
All right.
Ooh, a shiny rock.
The shiny rock returns, yes. And the two of you, Zika and Kiernan, you are looking at the area they were digging, and you see kind of an odd lump on the ground. You see, like, maybe there's some clothing or something. It's hard to tell. You go over to the area, you brush the dirt off of it, and you see a small form crumpled on the ground. And you turn it over, and it is the body of an Isog.
Is it one I recognize?
It is. You see the body of Drin Redley.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no, no.
Sagi.
No, no, don't you, no, no, don't, no.
It's, Razor, is there anything you can do? Is it not too late?
I can look.
And Sagi grabs onto you. Please do something.
I will look. Is Drin dead?
He really doesn't look to be alive. He has some grievous wounds on him. You can give me a medicine roll.
Yeah, I got a 16 on that.
Okay. Looks like he was hit with a pick in the side of the head. And then there's another similar wound in his gut. And then on his chest, you see these bite marks. You kind of see what could be a wound similar to the one that you had.
Any yellow like pus?
You see a little in the wound, but it doesn't seem to have transformed him. But you're pretty sure this is the same infection that Grenna told you about.
I'll pull down his eyes.
No.
You stupid Bolas, what were you doing? Why did you come here?
Well, we need to send him on.
We'll not bury him here.
No, no.
Very well, he appears to be infected.
Can you purify him back at your forge?
Well, what you know about the contagion is that with your medicine roll, you know he's been dead for some time. And mm-hmm. as far as what Grena told you, it seems like that reanimation should happen pretty much immediately after death.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's possible maybe there's a delayed reaction, but it looks like it just didn't happen. There's a chance someone could be resistant.
I will discuss with this bright flame, but it appears that Bryn has resisted the full effects of the infection. If it were me, I would bathe them in the flames purely to make sure it is your culture.
Have your clergy people take a look at it. You should at least be cleaned off, given a proper send-off.
If you don't mind, why don't I take him back to Bael Melshar and prepare him?
And then we will come back.
Right.
Are you able to carry him?
We'll carry him.
Yes.
Saigi and I will carry him.
Are you sure?
All right.
Be careful. He was infected.
Yes, we'll be careful. Kind of make like a little stretcher with two sticks and fold some cloth in between it, and we'll carry Drin between us.
And at this point, while you prepare Drin's body and get it ready to go and like a makeshift bier, and Saigi looks off down the tunnel.
Where do you think that goes?
We'll come back and investigate. We'll not let Drin's passing be in vain. We'll sort this out.
All right. So, what do you all do next?
I think we're heading back to Bael Melshar with Drin and get his body cleaned up. I'm assuming that Razor's probably going back to the forge.
The forge, yes.
Kierden, what are your plans?
I will stay around the Isog, sort of in the background. If they need any help, I will be there, but I'm not going to intervene if I am not needed.
Okay. At this point, Kevin, I'm going to ask you about Isog customs around death.
So Isog funerals are, like most Isog celebrations or, you know, events, I should say, Isog funerals are a feast. They are typically very loud. It's actually encouraged to express emotion to the fullest, including the fullest volume. Typically, the feast will consist largely of the deceased's favorite foods. It's considered a way to remember them, to enjoy their favorite foods. It's considered disrespectful to not eat anything. So there's a lot of generally being very loud. There's very emphatic storytelling, songs, crying is just as equally accepted. And in fact, if you're seen too reserved, people will often offer you alcohol to loosen you up so that you can display your emotions. Anyone who knew or would consider them close friends or family, they would not kill any animals for the feast. So there's usually not a lot of fresh meat. There'd be a lot of things like salted, dried, smoked meats would be the only meats that would be there probably. And they don't kill any animals for 3 days.
Okay. So that is something that will obviously happen at some point in Bael Melshar. So when you bring Drin back, the Isog rush over to you. You're sure probably most of them never even met Drin, but they're all just very affected by the whole thing. And they have lots of questions. They want to know what happened, what's going on, what should they be on the lookout for? And inevitably somebody will ask about serpent folk.
No serpent folk.
And then they'll be like, yes, but did the serpent folk hire these things to do this? You know, how are the serpent folk involved?
Undead. Bunch of cowardly zombies. And best to do is avoid holes you don't know. Don't go falling down sinkholes or nothing like that. And if you do fall down in a sinkhole, you scrabble yourself back up to holes you know or the surface. There's undead under there. We're going to get this rooted out.
All right. Give me a persuasion, charisma, whatever.
I can try.
Yeah, worth a try.
I rolled a natural 20, so that's 21.
Hey. Alrighty, so yeah, the people are kind of gravitating towards you. And actually, have you given any thought to if there's any kind of hierarchical structure to this district, or if it follows any traditional Isog organization?
Yeah, obviously they would bow to the laws of the city while they're here. Generally, they wouldn't try to govern themselves. There is a very small amount of hierarchy as far as dealing with purely Isog matters that is modeled off of the ruling structure in Glasbale, in their hometown, where there are two chieftains and an archdruid that make up sort of a triumvirate. That's generally how they do governing of themselves.
where most of the decision making is the two chieftains, and the archdruid offers wisdom and only participates in decision making to break ties.
All right. Yeah, so similar to that, there would be that same structure here, your triumvirate of chieftains and archdruid, and they seem to take very well what you said and will probably want to talk to you in private to get more details. They seem to be considering you the expert on this situation, you and Sagi. They will defer to what you suggest, but they're ready to defend Bail Melshar. You know, they're ready to, if you want to send people down underground to root stuff out, or if you want to just fortify the area. These obviously are people who are probably in the war.
So
they're prepared to do what is needed to be done, either to prep for an attack or an invasion.
I'll tell them to keep an eye on, basically on the ground. You know, if they're doing any digging, be aware of what's below what they're digging as best they can. You know, use magic if possible. And other than that, just wait for us to do some more investigation, and we will figure out what, if there's anything behind this, or if it was really just three rogue undeads.
Right.
I guess it was more than three, because there were the ones that we fought back in Hogsbane Alley.
Right. So a little bit more on those. The human zombies you saw,
right,
from what you were able to gather after that whole kerfuffle happened, is they were identified as the guys who were digging the sewer line.
I remember that.
It is possible they came in contact with either one of these Duergar or something else with that infection down there.
Right.
So if that is the case, then wherever those guys have been, they could be out there. While everybody seems to feel like they have the Hogsbane Alley situation all locked up, Razor learned last time that it might not necessarily be the case, because this is not an infection that shows itself when you're alive. And even if you die, there's a chance you might not come back, but who knows? I mean, you've only seen it so far in humans. Maybe it reacts differently in Isog.
Right.
Maybe he made his constitution saving throw. Who knows?
Right. That's kind of the instructions I'll give them. Basically keep themselves safe while we do more investigating to figure out what's going on.
Okay. So, Razor, you are heading back to the temple to speak to Grenna?
Yeah.
And at this point, it's probably getting close to evening. So, you know, depending on what you want to do next.
Well, if it's close to evening, it's probably just after dinner, whatever, which would tend to happen with everyone in the forge. The acolytes and the lower ranks would have all had dinner and such together. Forge Master, of course, would not. And Grenna, that would be up to her. But I will approach her and try to reach her either at her office or her room.
Okay. Find her, actually, after dinner, just finishing up dinner and going back to her cell, her area. Oh, you were dirty before you left. Then you cleaned up, and you come back, I think, dirtier than before.
Yes.
What are you doing out there?
Well, I went beneath the city again. I was seeking one of my friend's friends. We found him, unfortunately, late. But we did uncover another mystery. Perhaps we can talk somewhere discreetly.
Yes, yes, let's. And you go back. If you show her the sample,
yeah,
she'll examine it. And as far as she can tell, it does look to be that same contagion. Possibly it's a more pure source. From what she can tell. So whatever has infected these Duergar is the cause of this infection. And given, you know, what you tell her about what's going on underground, we need to see how far this goes.
Yeah, and there's the one. What I could tell, it appears that for whatever reason, it does not appear that he will reanimate. They wish to, in their normal ritual, I don't know, it might be a good idea if you were to look at the body first. I advise putting it through the purifying flame, or that is not their way.
Isog are very accommodating, I found. Let's go to Bail Melshar, and I'll talk to their chieftains, your friends, and we'll put our heads together and see what we can do. It's important they are able to follow their ways to handle the situation, but this problem definitely seems to be worse than maybe even we originally feared.
Our esteemed leader did not seem keen on us investigating what had happened previously. Yet this infection is reaching just under the forge. It makes me wonder what he knows or doesn't know. I like to think that he was merely a political animal.
It's hard to say. I still think his whole interest in that was purely a public relations stunt, but who knows? I did send word to the office of the Temple Master that an acolyte wishes to speak with her. I'm awaiting her office's return. Made it as clear as I could that this was not going through the Forge Master. And luckily, there seems to be no love lost between those two, so I don't think it'll be a problem. I don't think it'll get back to him. But maybe this is what they're afraid of. I don't know. It is getting really bad out there. There's been a lot of unrest in the lower half of the city and a lot of confusion in the upper half, from what I understand. It's a mess, and this is not going to help. So night will fall. Grenna and Razor will go back to Bale Malshar and meet with the chieftains. And after a time, they will come to decide that after she gets a chance to examine him, chieftains and the Archdruid decide that the best course of action is for Drin's body to be cremated. They will follow through with every other part of the Isog funeral tradition. His body will be placed in a wooden box that is carved in his name and family, best to represent him.
Raucous feast.
Yes, so the evening will end with a raucous feast. It seems to be, no matter what the occasion, a raucous feast is not hard for them to put together, and the word goes out pretty quickly across Bale Malshar that the sacrifice of Drin Redleaf could lead to the people being saved from a fate that they didn't even know about.
Are there lots of chatter and rumors flying around?
Yes, well, there certainly are. And as the sun sets over Bale Malshar, raucous feasts, all kinds of emotion, and we will cut our episode there. And we will see you all next time.
Thank you.
Take care.